Open your Bibles at 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, I'm sure we've all been there at some point. There's a celebration going on, a party, everyone's having a great time, and some strangers walk in. And everyone's going, who are they? What are they doing here? Oh, surely they must know the person running the party. But as time goes on, you realise that actually they don't. And these people, they've just been wandering by, they've looked in, seen people having a good time, and they've wandered in. They're what's known as gate crashers. People have gate crashed the party. And people who gate crash parties, they can come along to the party, they can make lots of new friends, and it can be a great thing. Or people who gate crash a party, they can come along and they can cause trouble. They can spike the drinks and they can get into fights and behave absolutely disgracefully and ruin the party for absolutely everybody. And when it comes to the great Christian festivals that we celebrate, Christmas and Easter, we live in a time when our parties have been gatecrashed. They really have. We live in a time when less and less people understand the meaning of Christmas. And as for Easter, the meaning of that was forgotten a long time ago. So for so many people now, Easter, it's just a spring holiday. It's an opportunity to exchange lots and lots of chocolates. You had chocolate this morning? No. Anyone got a risk for their hands? I got some chocolate this morning. Who had chocolate for breakfast? Someone had chocolate for breakfast. If I'd asked the German that, I suspect quite a few of them would have already have eaten a couple of Easter eggs before coming along to church. So maybe we should have prayed for the Sunday school because they're all high on sugar or something. But this thing that the world has very much gatecrashed our parties. For Christians, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, is the biggest reason that we have got to celebrate. But the world has gatecrashed it. And the influence of the world has got to such an extent now that we even get to the point that many Christians don't understand the significance of the resurrection. They just don't. Now, that may seem like it doesn't really matter if you don't understand the significance of the resurrection. Then you may be saying, well, it doesn't really matter. But I can tell you now, not understanding the resurrection if you're a Christian, it's like going fishing without your fishing rods. It's that much of a mistake. You know, you can't get anywhere unless you understand what the resurrection means for us as Christians. It's that central. It's that foundational. So for the Christian, the resurrection shows that Jesus' death on the cross was accepted by God. It means that we are not serving a dead saviour who's in a tomb, in a shrine in the Middle East. But we're serving a living saviour whom we can have a real relationship with. And because of Jesus' resurrection, we get forgiveness of sins, we get a new birth, we get assurance for the future, a living hope. This is what the resurrection brings to us as Christians. We must not let the gatecrasher get us to take the eye off the ball, to start thinking about other things. What we need to do is we need to try and make the gatecrasher understand what it's all about. Because the wonderful things that we receive through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ are things which are of paramount importance to the person who's gatecrashing the party. Because resurrection is all about new life. It's about living hope, future resurrection. It's all to do with what comes after death. And statistically, each and every person is going to die. We may want to run away from it, we may be terrified by it, but statistically, we are all going to die. And this is one of those facts that most people, they want to sweep it under the carpet. They don't want to think about it. They refuse to talk about it. In our society, the end of life is often hidden away in homes and hospitals. And we pay a small group of people to deal with it. The rest of us, we don't think about it. But our turn will come. It may arrive suddenly and unexpectedly, as it did for those poor people caught up in Belgium this week. Or it may come after a long drawn-out battle. In the last few days, a friend of ours down in Worthing has died and been buried at a relatively young age and fighting against pancreatic cancer. It comes to each and every one of us. So, it is something that the gatecrasher needs to hear about. And as Christians, it's something that we need to understand as well. It's something which applies to each and every one of us. In the ancient world, death absolutely terrified people. The Greeks, they saw the body as a prison that they were going to be released from. But they had no hope of return, and they didn't know what that release was going to be like, so it was absolutely hopeless for them. Today, the atheists who say that there is no God and you can live exactly how you want, which is news that people want to hear, you ask them what comes next. You ask them what comes after death. They've got no answer, they've got no hope. There's nothing that they can do to help people. Enjoy your life now because there's nothing else, just oblivion and darkness. But do you feel that you're going to live forever? God's word tells us that God has set eternity in the hearts of man. We were made to live forever. The problem is, we rebelled against God. We sinned against him. We tried to become like God ourselves and we rejected him. And the punishment for that, part of the punishment of that, is spiritual death, separation from God spiritually, and then that eventually leads to physical death as well. Death has come because we have rejected God and we have rebelled against God. And death itself, it comes to us all. But it's not the end. This is it. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he rose again the first Easter morning, he's showing by overcoming death that the punishment of death has been paid. There is life after death. There is hope for all those who put their trust, their faith in him. And that's what the party is all about. That's why Christians are celebrating. So let's have a quick look at this passage from 1 Peter and just pull out a few points which explains the sort of celebration that we as Christians have. Right, so, now, I know that you all like presents, don't you? And over the years you've had many presents. How many of you have ever had a present, you've opened it up and gone round and go, oh, great, just what I always wanted. Right, let's get this thing working. And you try and get your little drone to fly, or your new mobile phone to work, and it doesn't do anything. You look at the box. Requires charging. 67,000 hours is what it feels like. It's usually about 5 hours. Or batteries not included and the shops are closed. You've got to wait, haven't you, to get that power. And once you get the power into the device, well, if it's a drone, it's flying around the room or you're surfing the internet or something like that. The resurrection is the power for the Christian. The resurrection is the batteries, it's plugging them into the mains. Now we all know, don't we, that Jesus died for our sins. What we don't always understand is that he's raised for our new life. Look at 1 Peter 1 verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy he has given us new birth, that's being born again, into a living, it's a living hope, not a dead hope, through the death of Jesus? No, it's not. It's through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. When we're born again, we become a new creation because he died to pay the price of our sins and he's risen again for our new life. Now, how all this works can be a bit difficult to understand because it's something that we're not familiar with. You know, most of us don't understand how the inner workings of a mobile phone operates. We just use them, don't we? But, you know, if we bother to learn how these things all work, then they make sense to us and we're familiar with them. And how the resurrection impacts a Christian is a bit like this. It's one of those things that we need to think about. And once we think about it, we can easily understand it. In Scripture, we learn, don't we, that we are united to Christ. Now, we're familiar with this, aren't we, from illustrations like Jesus is the head of the body, and the church is the rest of the body. Or Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. And as you look through the New Testament, whenever it's talking about believers, most of the time, certainly in Acts and in Paul's letters, it doesn't call them Christians. The term Christian was an insult that someone invented. Instead, it refers to believers as people who are in Christ. They are united with Christ. They're in union with Christ. And this happens to us when we're born again. So, spiritually, we move from being dead in our sins to being spiritually alive in Christ. There's a spiritual resurrection going on there. That's what being born again is all about. Then, because we're in Christ, we receive all these benefits come to us because of that link that we have with Christ. We're clothed with his righteousness. We're sanctified. We're adopted. We receive the Holy Spirit and so on. We get these things because we are in Christ. We're united with Christ. And because we're united with Christ, the things that he's done, the things that have happened to him, they're applied to us. So his physical bodily resurrection means that one day we too will undergo the same kind of resurrection. And we'll see a little bit more about that in a few minutes. This is the living hope for the future that we have as Christians, which causes us to lift our eyes up from the things of this world, which are so temporary, and look to the far future, and look on to that time that we see Jesus face to face. So we have this living hope because we're united with Christ, because we're in Christ. But in this passage, we see that it's far more than just that, because it's possible to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ today. And that's good news, because we're made for that relationship. We're made for that relationship with God. And until we find it, there's something missing from our lives. People know this. When they're younger, people are looking for a soulmate. Someone that they think that they're going to be 100% compatible with. And we can find some people that we're pretty compatible with, but we're never going to find someone that we're totally compatible with, because we're made for that relationship with God. And our behaviour, our rejection and rebellion against God has got in the way. But once that's cleared out the way, once we put our trust in Jesus and we're forgiven for our sins, then we can have that relationship with God that we're made to enjoy. We can finally be in that right sort of relationship, that relationship that people are looking for, and they're looking in all sorts of funny places for it. But that relationship that we're looking for, we can have with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a living relationship. Jesus is not dead and in the tomb. He's alive. He's seated at the right hand of heaven, of the Father in heaven. And one day, he's going to come back. Christians are people who have found out that that soulmate that they're longing for, that hole in their life that they want to fill, can only be filled by that relationship with the God who has made them, the God who has given them new life, and the God who has now rescued them from themselves and given them a living hope for the future. So it's no wonder that Christians have celebrated Jesus' resurrection, because if he'd stayed in the tomb, we couldn't have had any relationship with him. But this relationship we have with the living and risen Lord Jesus brings us great joy, and we see this in verse 8 of our passage. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Knowing God is the relationship that brings the most joy to your life. It's the only one that can bring pure joy to your life. It's a wonderful thing. So as Christians, we're celebrating this wonderful relationship that we have with Christ. And it should make us the happiest people on earth. Isn't that happy? There you wanted to. There you wanted to. as well as being in the living relationship with Christ, there's also the glorious inheritance that we receive. Now, people who are born into wealthy families, they'll set up trust funds for their children, and the children, when they get to a certain age, know that there's a trust fund coming, so that when they turn 21, they get, you know, some change, a couple of million or something, just to keep them going. So they're financially secure, you know, unless they squander it, which some of them do. Now, that is sort of inheritance. It's only for this life. It's easily lost. But we see, don't we, that as Christians, we're looking forward into the future, a relationship with the living Lord Jesus, and we're looking at an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade as well. Our faith in the risen Lord Jesus, it opens up some sort of account in heaven where the Lord stores up for us an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade, and it's absolutely safe and secure. Now, we live in a world, don't we, where people work hard to pay their mortgages in order to get a house. They put money into a car and they sweat when it goes for its MOT. Mine went for its MOT the other week. They passed after Or you scrimp and you save to put money away into a bank account, or you want to go off on a holiday or something like that. But these things are only temporary. What happens to houses? They eventually decay and collapse, don't they? What happens to cars? They rust and they break down, don't they? How quickly can you empty your bank account? Like that. You can spend years saving it, and you can spend it all in a moment, one way or another. The riches of this earth are only temporary. But as Christians, we have an inheritance that will never perish, never spoil, it will never fade. It's kept in heaven for us. It's there with the risen and exalted Lord Jesus. And one day we will see him face to face, and that will be the greatest treasure, seeing the Lord Jesus face to face. But for the Christian, we know that we've got all sorts of good things ahead of us. It's like going to a party, and in the party there's a time later on when the presents are unwrapped. We're still at the front end of the party. The really good stuff is yet to come. So we also have that living hope as well, and we've already mentioned this living hope, the living hope of the future resurrection of Christians physically, spiritually when we're born again, a spiritual resurrection. We've also got a physical resurrection to come. We see this in Romans 6 verse 5, where Paul writes, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his." What's happened to the Lord Jesus is going to be applied to us. So that's referring to that union that we have with Christ. And this is the great hope for the Christian, because death is not the end. It's a doorway. It's a doorway that can be scary and painful to go through, and it's right that we feel trepidation at that. But it's a doorway into glory, into the Lord's presence. Then one day, when the time is right, we shall also be given a new body, a body just like his, which is not going to fade, spoil, or perish. But this hope is only for those who are in the right relationship with God through Jesus Christ in this life. Scripture is very clear that for everyone there is going to be life after death. But there is the life of glory with the risen Lord Jesus, or there is the life of punishment for those who reject and rebel against God in this life, in that place that the Bible calls hell. And deep down, people know that there is life after death. They know that they're going to live forever, because God has set eternity in the hearts of people. But the thing is, what are they going to do about it? Are they going to take all these thoughts, and they're like unpaid bills, refuse to open them, or dirt that you just sweep it under the carpet so that it comes back to get you later? What are people going to do about it? Well, there is good news for folk like that. But this morning, as we come to the close of this sermon, we've got three different groups of people here. And two of them are Christian, and one of them are the people who are looking in, the people who are gatecrashers. So first of all, this morning, you can be a Christian, you can be born again, you're spiritually alive, but you've been listening to the gatecrashers, you've been listening to the voices of this world, and you don't really understand what the resurrection is all about. Maybe you're very much living in the moment, and you're not thinking that much about the future at all. If that's you, then I urge you to spend some time studying the scriptures. Read through something like Romans, and just look at the times it mentions the resurrection, and the times it mentions being in Christ. Make a note of these things and take them to heart and rejoice, because your salvation is far more than just the forgiveness of your sins. You're brought into a relationship with the risen and living Lord Jesus. And there's all sorts of benefits that come from him to you. So spend some time looking into these things, pondering these things, and make sure that you don't get distracted by the things of this world. The things of this world are very good at distracting Christians. Remember that your inheritance are not the holidays that you enjoy, or the homes that you live in, or the cars that you drive, or that healthy bank balance, even the relationships you may have with people. Your inheritance is that relationship with the living Lord Jesus, and he's got all sorts of good things prepared for you in the future, which nothing will ever be able to take away. Don't get too tied to this world, because everything in this world is only temporary for the moment. The things for eternity, the things that will last, are all with Christ. So fix your thoughts upon him and study God's word and see how these things apply, and become a little bit more heavenly minded. The other group of Christians are, of course, the people who know about these things, who have pondered them, who have studied them. They know where they're going. And if that's you, I just want to encourage you to keep on going, because those distractions can so easily pull us away. It's easy to maintain our focus on something for a couple of months, but we're talking about maintaining our focus for years and years and years and years, and it becomes difficult and other things pull us away. So keep on focusing upon the risen Lord Jesus. Keep on reminding yourself of the benefits that come through his death and his resurrection. And don't get distracted by the world. Then, of course, our final group are the people who are gatecrashers. And if you've come along this morning and you're in that category, it's great to see you here. And we're going to, and hopefully this morning, we'll explain a little bit about why we're partying, why we're having such a good time. And the good news is, you too can have a reason to party. All you've got to do is put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. Accept that what he did on the cross is done, because you've done things wrong, and that you cannot do anything else to add to what he's done. Then you admit that you've done wrong yourself, put your faith in him, and you too can have that living hope of being united with the risen Lord Jesus, becoming a Christian, being born again. But don't delay, because this is an issue that we have all got to face. Statistically, 100% of us are going to die. And this is illustrated by a story that I read this week. And it's a story that comes from the old medieval world in the king's court. And there's a new king, he's just been crowned, and he's given out all the different posts, and he gets to the point where he appoints the court jester. The person who's going to be a fool, who's going to frolic around and make them all laugh. And the person is presented to him, and he gives the person his jester's stick, his tickling stick or whatever it is. And he says to him, "Jester, I want you to keep this stick until you find someone who is a greater fool than you." Well, it's a lifelong appointment, and many, many times the jester makes the king laugh. He's helps him in difficult situations by bringing a lightness to it. And then eventually get to their last meeting, and the king is on his deathbed. And for once the jester is serious. And he goes, "My lord, what preparations have you made for this journey which we will all take one day?" And the king looks at him with sorrow. He goes, "Jester, I have made no preparations." And at that, the jester takes his jesting stick and hands it back to the king. My friend, do not be the fool who brushes these things under the carpet and ignores them until it's too late. Put your trust in Jesus today.